Good morning.
We needed to dismiss the kids from Children's Church, so away goes the young generation. Come on, amen. Love having the kids in the house. So proud of RB and his ordination. So excited. He's got cake back there after church. That's an awesome thing, and the journey, he's already been into it. He's licking his fingers now. Okay, all right, we'll let that go. So, it's an honor this morning to come before you and share the Word of God. We love the Life Center. I don't know if you're really aware what an amazing church this is. How many are really, really aware you are part of an amazing church? And this church is getting talked about in various circles around the nation because it is extremely rare to find a church like this in a town. If I remember the population right, it said 1,180 down at the coming into town, a town of 1,200, and to see a church like this, you know God is up to something great. Amen? And you have wonderful pastors. Amen. There's a great team here that is serving. And Pastor Kelly mentioned that I was part of a navigational pastors network. And it's amazing to be a part of that team. But Kelly and Kari also serve on that team, and they're part of those navigational pastors. And one of the privileges that has come their way as one of those breakout churches is they have been given a scholarship. They're one of only 20 pastors that are in our network that have been given a scholarship to 3 days to a 30-some million-dollar retreat center for pastors in Rome, Georgia. And I'll tell you, yeah, amen. And I'm so excited that they're going. Now, all of their expenses are paid once they get there. Everything's taken care of. And I talked to RB earlier, so one of his jobs that we were coordinating on is to make sure their airfare and their rental car is taken care of, and you bless the pastors that bless you, okay? And so I'm very, very excited about the privilege they have to be with Dr. Ferguson and other great leaders in Rome, Georgia. They're going to get to be there before we're even going to get to be there. We'll be there this fall. But it's such a great thing. God gives us great leaders, and great things happen as we serve. And I love the analogy of Rebecca. I appreciate that word so much, Kelly. That is the heart. And I'm going to know if you have a great serve and you understand in everything you do, you're serving Christ, you're doing a great work. Amen. And if you just really get that, I love Elisha's title. Elisha, the one who was going to follow Elijah, his spiritual son, if you will. He was not known as Elisha with some great title. He was known as the man who poured water on the prophet's hands. And so he was one who refreshed his leader. And so I would really encourage you, be one who refreshes your leader. Be one who is proactive. Be one who is willing to serve. Be a giver in the house. Do things that create unity and synergy in the house. And everybody said, amen. Come on, amen? Some of the greatest things you can ever do for a leader is begin to own the vision in their heart as your own and run with them. Amen? All right, so I want to share a message with you today. I have a few moments to share that. And I don't know how many of you, I won't ask the question how many of you play the lottery, but I would ask, but I would ask the question, and if you do and win, by the way, tithe on it. But I don't know how many of you follow the lottery, but in January of this last year, the lottery, that national lottery, I remember now even what it's called, Powerball or something, but it reached $648 million. Anybody use a little bit of that? You know, come on. Okay, I got three hands. We can divide that pretty easily. All right. And it was just an amazing frenzy. When it hits a certain level and it starts going up, all of a sudden it hits national media and everybody's talking about it. And people who never bought lottery tickets before are lining up to buy tickets. And there were two winners. And each winner with the cash outlay was $120 million. Not bad. And there were 20 others who took in, they had enough numbers to get $1 million each. I mean, how many would take the million? I mean, it's a good day. It's a happy day. Okay. It's a very happy day. But what they often don't talk about is during that particular lottery in January, 1 billion tickets were sold. That's a lot of tickets. And if each person bought an average of 5 tickets, now hang on with me, look at this. If one person buys 5 tickets, then 200 million people were disappointed on the day of the draw. Are you with me? And they only talk about the two. Reality is, you have a better chance of getting struck by a meteorite than you do win the lottery. So if you're feeling lucky, stay indoors. You know, are you with me? And so, how many know in life, I want to talk about this theme and this thought of hope. And how many have ever been disappointed? Is there anybody in the house ever been? How many remember junior high school? I mean, you know, I think I like her. I hope she likes me. I think I like him. I hope he likes me. We live over on the coast. Every now and then, we hope it won't rain. Come on, are you with me? You know, it's just like, and by the way, when we headed over here this week, it was beautiful weather. We got over here, it's like, man, God brought the weather for us. In fact, we were blamed for bringing the rain, you know? But how many know we can hope it's not going to rain, and we can be disappointed? Now, I want to show you a scripture. Just take a few moments to talk through this subject and this thought of hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a, you can say this with me, to a living hope through Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. And where is it reserved? In heaven for you and I. We have a blessed, alive, living, eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Okay, 3 of you agree with me. Okay, come on. How many know we have this blessed hope in Jesus? All right, are you with me? Now, I just want to just lay a little foundation. The word hope literally means to cherish a desire with anticipation, an expectation or a belief in fulfillment. And I really want to spend some time on this third part of that. Literally a cord. Literally something that attaches, to bind together, to wait, to look for, to expect. Okay? Now, how many know it's important what you put your hope in? See, if you were one of those that was hoping to win the lottery, more than likely, you were among the 200 million who were disappointed. Come on. Are you with me? You know, this last Christmas, I was hoping for a Ferrari for Christmas. What are you laughing for? I deserve it. Come on. Come on. I was telling them, I'm hoping for, you know, and we're just talking to the church about that. And actually, I wasn't disappointed. Because one of our staff got all excited about it, and he went and bought a remote control Ferrari. And he hit it on the stage, and I get up and I start to speak, and I hear a noise and turn around, and a Ferrari drives out beside me. And the whole place lost it because my hope came true. But I wasn't specific in my prayers. I wanted a Ferrari that I could get inside to drive. You know, are you with me? But how many know sometimes in life we can be deeply disappointed if we don't understand where our hope is attached? Are you with me? See, the Bible says the love of God was made manifest on earth through Jesus Christ, right? And Christ brings this love into our lives in that he died that we might live in him. Everybody with me? And so I want you to see this picture that Christ came to earth, and I, in turn, extended my faith to him. So Christ comes, and the rope, I want to talk to you about the rope of hope, if you will. It's this extension. It's like heaven let down a cord to give the world hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Is everybody with me? Now let me, and that attachment in me became tied to the bumper, if you will. Anybody ever been towed before? Not the tow-er, but the tow-ee. Anybody ever been scared out of your life and it was almost enough to make a preacher cuss? Okay. How many of you are talking in tongues or just white knuckling the steering wheel because of the toe-e? Is there anybody else in the house? And it's like every time. Okay, Bear Claw said every time. You know, you get behind that car And I remember the first time a guy towed me out of a gravel back in the mountains, the car broke down. I was still a teenager, and my dad said, "You get in the car." My Lord, I wanted to kill my uncle. If I got out of that car, I'd wrung his neck. The rope was too short. I was hooked to him, and wherever he was going, I was going. You know what I'm talking about? I might have went in the ditch, but if he kept going, I was coming out of that ditch because I was attached to a car that was going somewhere. Are you with me? And you've been there, haven't you? It's like, whoa! And you know what? We're going somewhere because I was connected. And that was freaky, man. I'll tell you, it was like I learned how to drive real quick in about 5 miles, okay? But because it was drive or die. But see, the reality of this is if we know where our hope is attached. Now, why don't you get this? Because in this life, you can be disappointed. You've met some pretty significant disappointments in life. And we can navigate the disappointments in life if our hope is firmly connected in heaven. Come on. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart, come on, you can say that, sick, okay? But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Same verse in the Message says this: unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick. All right? So just a little bit of thought here. Our hope must be anchored beyond a moment, an event, or a season. Come on. If your hope is not anchored beyond a moment, or beyond an event, or beyond a season, you will become among those who is heart sick because my hope got deferred. Whoa, I was hoping it wouldn't rain. Well, I was hoping this was going to happen. Come on. I was hoping to get the new car. You know, we're in right now in a season of hope, aren't we? We're filling out our tax returns. How many sat down hoping you're going to get a certain number back, all right? We're sitting down and hoping I'm not going to have to pay, and I'm hoping. You ever had those moments where you're thinking, okay, this year I might get $800 back, and all of a sudden everything works out right, and you got $1,600 coming back? How many know, isn't that wonderful? But how many know when you sat down, and I got this hope that I'm going to get $800 back, and I find out I got to pay $12? Are you with me? Now, you see, those things come and go, but my hope is not anchored there. My hope on the west side is not anchored in the weather. My hope is not anchored in who the president is. My hope is not anchored in what everybody else thinks about me. My hope is not anchored in an event or a moment. My hope is in Christ. That way, when I go in the ditch of disappointment, I'm coming out because I'm connected to heaven. Something begins to happen in me. Something begins to change in me. But if I don't understand that, and then I just attach things naturally and locally, man, my life looks like a yo-yo. You ever run into those people? You don't know what kind of mood they're in. It just depends on what happened. See, when you're Christians, you don't live from the outside in. You live from the inside out. It's a night and day difference. I change the weather when I show up. Come on. I'm happy. You either get happier or get away from me because I'm happy because I love Jesus. Come on, are you with me? See, so as Christians, you don't live from the outside in. People who don't know Christ and don't have that hope live from the outside in. But when we have Christ, we live from the inside out, and my hope is anchored in Him. Now, I've been through some sucky moments. Haven't we? I mean, in life has not turned out the way we thought it might turn out. There's still things I'm scratching. Kelly talked about being confused. I guarantee there's still things I'm thinking, okay, once I get done worshiping Jesus for 1,000 years, I got a few questions. Come on. But people who navigate those moments are people who understand their hope is firmly connected in Christ. And their face does not reflect their moment. Can I say that just one more time? Come on, are you with me? They're not up and down and in and out and in a good mood and in a bad. You all know them. They don't attend this church. They attend another church. But you know them, right? Oh, do we say hi to them this morning or do we just leave them alone? Come on. You with me? And the reality is they've been inoculated with Christ, but they really don't have the hope of Christ understanding what's on the other side. Are you with me? And they're in and they're out and they're up and they're down. No. Be consistent. If you're going to be in a bad mood, live consistently in a bad mood. At least we know what to expect. Are you with me? I think somebody that just lives a consistent bad mood is easier to deal with than somebody who's up and down and in and out. Okay. Is that too much for Sunday morning? All right. Okay. All right. Let me just give you three things. When we live in hopelessness, it tells us three things. And I love threes. Number one, that our hope may be tied to natural things. Dwayne, you're depressed today because you didn't get a Ferrari. Come on. You're depressed today because of the weather. I hear that some on the west side, and I really don't get it. I hear people, you know, there's more depression on the west side because there's so much rain. And it's like, no, the sun's always shining inside me. I'm good. You know, I'm great. But it might be that I'm living hopeless because my hope is tied to natural things. Oh, you just don't understand, Dwayne. If I just had a better income, if I had just got that job, if I had just kept my marriage together, if I had just got that house, and all that hope begins to be tied to natural things around them rather than our hope being in Christ. Number two, if we're hopeless, it may tell us that we aren't relying and tapping in to the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. How many know no matter what happens around us, we have hope in Jesus? Come on, no matter what happens, I got hope in Jesus. And if I'm drawing my last breath right now, it's not in sorrow and sadness because I got eternal hope waiting for me on the other side. His name is Jesus. Okay? But then get this one. The third piece is hopelessness may tell us that we are resisting a needed death in us. I know you don't. None of us get excited about that. Dying? Do we really have to go? We already heard that. Arby, spoiler alert, he told us we're all going to die. You know, it's like, thanks, Arby. You know, cheer us up before I preach. You know, come on. But how many know it's not about just a one-time death? How many know even the Apostle Paul said, I die daily? And if we learn how to live this life in death, then we can really live it in life. See, sometimes we come into the kingdom of God and we work out what we want rather than yielding ourselves to what the master wants. And at times there are things that need to die in us so the hope can remain and move us. Is that making sense to somebody? And see, if I'm holding on, isn't it amazing? The more you hold on to something God's wanting you to let go of or something God's wanting to die in you, the more pain you bring on yourself until you're willing to let go. Is that the same in Idaho as it is in Washington? Come on, are you with me? It's like, and we've been there. My wife and I, you know, we go through deaths every now and then. But it's an amazing life because every time I die to something, something new is coming that's amazing and more and better. Come on, are you with me? And so I learned to trust the master. And so I realized I don't have to live in hopeless. In fact, there are no hopeless situations. I need to say that one more time. There are no hopeless situations, only people who think hopelessly. Now, you can make a situation hopeless by the way you think, but there are no hopeless situations. And by the way, God has plans for good for me, and God has plans for, come on, good for you. Well, it doesn't feel like it. I don't walk by feeling, I walk by faith. Come on. And I'm in a season, but my hope's not anchored to a season. My hope's not anchored to will Josh like me or not? Come on, and I hope he does like me because I like Josh. We have a similar haircut. And come on, are you with me? But my hope's not anchored in that. My hope is anchored in Jesus. All right, is that doing all right? Are you doing all right? All right, okay. What happens when we lose hope? What happens when we lose hope? Said it makes the heart sick, so one of the things that happen is we get depressed. Come to church, and the only way we can get you to smile is stand you on your head. You know, are you with me? Okay? You get depressed. I'm going through an issue of depression. Look at this. I got three things. Number two is disillusioned. Okay? I had hope in something, and now I'm disillusioned. Number three, disappointment. And how many know you can really read that? How many know you can read that on the face of somebody? If somebody's trying to convince you they're happy, I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'm trying to let you understand I'm happy. You know, forget the words. Let's just read the countenance. If I'm disappointed, come on, and I'm depressed and I'm disillusioned, you know what I'm putting up? Stay away. Stay away. I got problems. I got a disease. Oh, come on, are you with me? The reality is there are indicators that tell us we have stepped into a place of hopelessness because we had our hope possibly tied to something in the natural realm, to an event or to a moment, instead of to God. Now, to think about it again. Ropes tied, cars moving, heaven is waiting. I'm going where God wants me to go because rope is the hope. Come on, rope. He's going to pull me through, God. I don't understand it. It is painful. It sucks right now. But God, you're going to pull me through because my anchor's in heaven. Now, see, if that's not happening, then I'm up and I'm down, and I'm in and I'm out, right? And when God answers my prayers, I'm happy. And when it seems that the prayer is being delayed or not answered, I'm sad. No, happy and sad have nothing to do with answered prayer. My hope is in Him, and I align myself, and I continue to pray, and I continue to believe. But I walk through every season of my life with hope, with joy, with peace, because He is my peace, He is my hope, He is my joy, He is my love, and I'm coming through it better than before. Come on, are you with me? You say, whoa, yeah, okay, that's really, really cool. But why? Well, how many know as you get into the kingdom and we begin to grow up, we begin to realize it's not all about us? Right? Isn't that a sign of maturity? I mean, when we have children in the church, they don't look around to see how many people around them might hear them when they scream. They don't matter what part of the service it's about. If they're hungry, wet, whatever's going on in their lives, they just let loose, right? Because at that moment, for that child, it's all about them. But don't we know that as we raise those children up, we begin to teach them what is appropriate? And hopefully, if we do a good job parenting, we teach them that it's not all about them. If we make it all about them throughout life, we have ruined them for life, because they will get out in the real world and they'll understand it's not all about them. Now, how many know in the kingdom, as we mature as disciples of Christ, we become completely aware that it's not just about me? See, can I tell you something? If you're living your life right now just trying to stay saved and trying to make it to heaven, God really wants to take you to another level. Because there are gifts and there are callings of God in you that the precious blood of Jesus, it cost Jesus His blood and His life to give those to you. And He wants you to function and operate in them in the kingdom of God. Can I be really, really honest with you? It'd be a whole lot easier to live a selfish life sometimes. Anybody else? I mean, Kelly was talking about our schedule, and I'm not a victim. I created the schedule. I love what we do. I love what we do. I love helping people. But boy, there's just sometimes I would like to spend a few more days in the house we built. Don't we talk about it? People say, what are you going to do for your time off? We're going home. We're going to our house. We're going to hang out at home. It's just like, cool, But I wouldn't trade it for anything, because I know my life is not my own. My life is to help do good for other people. Are you with me? And did you know people measure the life center not necessarily by the pastors or by the building, but they measure the life center by the congregants and the way we live our lives? You with me? That's why it's important for us to have a hope that's connected. So no matter what's going on, we're living in hope. If I'm up and down, in and out, my hope is tied to an event, a moment, or a season. Church people get along with it and they understand you, and okay, we got a reputation, got it. But the world says, wow, you're no different than I am, yet you're trying to tell me about this Jesus. Oh, it got really quiet just now, didn't it? You see, the way we live consistently in the hope of Christ outside of the context of church service is so much more important than what we sing, say, and do inside the four walls during a church service. You can bump your neighbor and say, he's talking to you now. All right, come on. I try to wind this down. They told me to be finished by 11:30. There was a trap door somewhere. So, you blocked it up. Okay, so we're good. All right. So again, answering the question, why is it so vital? I want to give you 3 points on this. Number one, Christ is hope. Is that on the board already? Yeah. Christ is hope. When we live a life of hope, we're reflecting Jesus. Come on. In fact, you know what? If your countenance will convey hope, you will be amazed what a witness you will be, and people will seek you out in their time of pain or perplexity. They will seek you out in their hour of being messed up because you have showed them something that said there is hope. Come on. And you can see it. Now, I know you don't have much of this over here, but over in Olympian on the west side, at almost any street corner, coming off the freeway, going on the freeway, we have people that hold up signs. Any money? I'm a disabled veteran, can't work. And invariably, almost every one of them, when I look at them, their face says, I am hopeless. Come on. It's a countenance. So when you're living in hope, you convey the hope. You don't have to convince people with their words. So number one, if you're living that way, you are living a life that Jesus paid for and you're reflecting Christ. Number two, hope takes us through storms and unpleasant seasons of life. I'm convinced that it's not what happens to you that makes you who you are, but it's how you handle what happens to you that makes you who you are. Right? Come on. When you have hope, you can get through. I could talk about our pain. I'm sure you could talk about your pain. I'm sure you could talk about some extremely difficult seasons and times in your life. If your hope is anchored, he will take you through the storm. If the storm takes you out, you move from the conquered, from the conqueror to the conquered. Come on. And that tells me I had my hope in something in the natural realm or the earthly realm and not in God. If you have your hope firmly planted in heaven, it will get you through the storms and the seasons of life that you don't get, you don't understand. Come on, are you with me? You can get through it. It got my wife and I through moving 70-some miles away from our church, so handing our church off, moving 70-some miles away, moving away from our kids, which, okay, we can handle that, but grandkids, God help us, okay? We had to move away from our grandchildren, all right? We had hope that our children would stay close, and my son-in-law and my daughter moved to Kansas City. God help us. God's getting us through the storm of life. Are you with me? Of transition. You know, we get ready to say goodbye to them in about 30 days as they go back to Kansas City again. And I can't hardly bear thinking of it. I can't think about it much because my she'll be 11 months old by then, little Anna, who she loves me. Now, she's not got a very good worldview yet, but she still loves me. And I have her in my arms, and when I think about it, I think I can't even hardly conceive that she's going to move halfway, and she's going to move to Missouri, of all places, you know. And they're headed to Kansas City, but you know what? My hope is in God. Are you with me? See, I'll navigate that. How do I know? Because my hope is in Him. I'm connected to Him. He will give me the grace necessary, and I will get through it. That might be another message, though, for some of you thinking about moving your children away from your parents. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Number three, hope causes us, and this is one of the biggest ones that just settles in my heart. Hope causes us to become the salt and the light of the world to the world of hopeless people. Come on. How many know as we grow up, we realize, okay, it's not all about my comfort, it's not all about me and church, but the church is the hope of the world. And if you are the church, then you are the hope of the world. And when you are living that consistent life, you become a hope to the hopeless. You become a friend to the friendless. You become light to those that walk in darkness because you have a hope that people don't understand in the natural realm because it's not tied to the natural realm. It's tied to eternity and the kingdom of God. And so it becomes a beautiful thing. And we get this opportunity to become a living witness because there's a hope in us. How can you be? I had a millionaire one day that I used to work for. And he said to me, how can you be so happy? I'm glad you ask. Because I was a whole lot happier than he was. And I had a whole lot less dinero. You with me? I mean, it didn't matter about the money. I was happy. And I had an opportunity to share the love of Christ with him because I had hope. Come on. So what do you do? What do you do when you've been disappointed? I'm going to show you a final scripture and I'll close. 1 Peter chapter 3. Because I'm going to know some stuff can take us out. You ever been just totally taken out? Is there a few people in the house? Yeah. I mean, just you had that time. You had that storm, that event, that divorce that you didn't think you would ever get over, that death of a loved one, maybe death of someone prematurely. Come on. Right? That sudden pink slip when you thought you were going to get a raise. Something that just it was kind of like being punched in the gut, and it just took all the wind out of you. We've all been there. Probably most of us have been there. Isn't it amazing that some people recover from that, and then other people create a life's message out of that? They live it, and they just keep living it. Well, and they become, you ever notice they become victims? Well, if this just hadn't happened to me, you know, it's kind of like Eeyore. It's kind of a combination of Eeyore and the guy from Gulliver's Travels. We'll never make it. We're doomed. You know, right? Right? Oh, bother. And they become, they gather into a language that they've let that event shape in them. But then there's other people that go through hell and back. It's like, what's the difference? What was the cap? Did God love one more than the other? No, we understand that's not the difference. We had an older gentleman early on in our church that began to attend our church. His name was Gil, and Gil and Marge were in their 70s, and he was the life of the party. I mean, you want to talk? He was a sailor, and I'm telling you, he was Popeye. He was built like Popeye. He had the tattoos, and he was just a hoot, man. We loved this guy. He was so full of joy and he loved everything. And then one day I got to talking with him, and he started telling me a few things about his life. You know, he started telling me things like, you know, Pastor Duane, I used to have 4 sons, but all 3 of them died. And 1 died in a fire, 1 died in a drowning, and 1 died of a drug overdose. And Pastor Duane, Marge is not my first wife. She's my second wife. My first wife was killed in a car accident. Wow. Dude, you've been through it. A lot of pain. But if he hadn't told me, I would have never known. Because he didn't reflect those traumatic, painful events of life. He was reflecting this essence of a Savior because his hope was the rope that was connected to heaven. And I went, wow, Gil, I'm so inspired. Then there's other people that they went through something. It was a hangnail, 1942, and they still want to talk about it. Come on. Well, my teacher hit me with a ruler. You know, it's like, what's the difference? And I'll show you this last verse. Because I'm convinced if you do this, if we do this, we can take what the enemy meant for bad and see God mean it for good because we can retain our hope. Okay? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I love this scripture because if they're going to ask, they saw something. Come on. Can you tell me, how do you have that hope? How do you have that love? Why are you always so happy? Now, by the way, this is not an act. I'm happy. I'm happy. I married the best woman in the whole world. I'm happy. Come on, amen? And she'll tell you, it drove her crazy for a few years. I get up in the morning happy, you know? And I still do. I love God. But it's not that I'm better than, I want you to hear this. It's a process and practice of sanctifying Christ in your heart. The word literally, it's a practice. How many know? Anybody take a bath this week? Okay, good. Okay, come on. See, I'm concerned. There weren't very many hands. Okay. So how many know that's what we do? Because we know if you don't bathe, you Lazarus, you stinketh. Okay. And sometimes in life stuff is happening, and you might think you're doing okay. But you're a little depressed. You're a little angry. You're a little, come on, disillusioned, disappointed. You're a little critical, a little negative. Take a bath. Sanctify. What do you mean? It's let me give you this part of it. You can give so many definitions of sanctify, but here's the final. To purify internally by renewing the soul. I want you to really get that. It's those moments where, okay, God, all hell is going on around me. And I want to know you can have it right now, even where you're at. You can do that right where you're at. Now I don't see anybody. It's just me. Jesus, take my disappointments. I worship you. You're my hope. Come on, cleanse me, renew me. Fill me. It's that moment. It's that time in prayer. It's that moment. It's that time in the Word. It's that moment when song service truly becomes worship, when it begins to emanate out of our heart. Come on, are you with me? And that begins to happen, then everything begins to change. God can take you in a moment from hopelessness to hope, from depression to, come on, excited and full of joy in those moments that you set apart in Him. So let me encourage you. You may be sitting here and you've just let life wring you out and bounce you everywhere, and you've had your hope tied to natural things. God wants you to retether that rope of hope today to heaven. Maybe you're here and you've just been in that, man, I've just been in that huge depressed hole. God wants to lift you out today. Would you stand with me? And I'd love to pray for you today as we close. And then I'll turn this back to Pastor Kelly. Would you bow your heads all over the building for just a moment? I love to have a response to the word. So if you're here today and your head's bowed, just for a moment, and you would lift your hand and say, Dwayne, God's telling me I am letting circumstances rob my hope, and I want to change that behavior. Just with an uplifted hand, I say, that's me, okay. Hands all over the building are being lifted, okay. Awesome, awesome. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, I've been through a real traumatic thing. Something's happened in my life that it just took that hope away, and it's been some time that I've been living that sucky life without hope, and I want it renewed. Hands, okay, wow, hands all over the building are being lifted. I want to pray a prayer for you today. And if you just take your neighbor by the hand that's next to you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. It's this simple. Now, you sanctify God in your heart. You sanctify God in your heart as we pray. You just settle apart. Okay, God, renew me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for the men and women all over this building. Hands have been raised. That God, maybe there's things we need to release and give up. Maybe there's some things that need to die. Maybe we've had our hope attached to natural things. Father, we're going to release them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for that freshness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to just begin to roll over the men and women of this house. God, I pray that you just begin to stir up our hearts in this place, God, of sanctifying. You are our hope and you are our reason for living. And so, Father, you're settling a renewal in the hearts. And some of these that raise their hands said, I don't think I can ever get out of this. And you're right, you can't. But God is bringing you out of it today. For some of you, God is breaking off that disillusionment, that disappointment. God is breaking off those moments of an event, even some of those things you're holding on to. God's causing you to let them go, release them, that He can take you into a new fruitful season where you can live consistently in hope in Christ, regardless of the circumstances. Father, I pray for life. I pray for healing. I pray for renewal. I pray for a body that is rising up, God, to reach a city for you that will be filled with such hope. People will ask them, why are you so hopeful? Why are you have so much joy? They will be ready to give a defense of the hope of Christ. Father, I thank you for this body. I thank you, God, for the inner healings, the inner renewings, and the sanctifying that is going on today in Jesus' name. Would you give a warm welcome to your pastor this morning?